So today we are beginning a new series looking at becoming disciples. And for us as a church, this is a really key thing. You'd hope so, wouldn't you, for a church to be keen on people becoming disciples. You know, it's there in our vision statement as a church. Our vision for Frinton Free Church is that we see a growing crowd excited by God, becoming disciples and bringing blessing. Now, that's a picture of the church we believe God wants us to be today, but increasingly to become as well. This idea that our church exists to help people to become disciples of Jesus. We also have values as a church, and we believe that values shape and mould our behaviour. And one of our values is that we value cultivating disciples. That there's a role for us as a church in growing men and women, young and old, into followers of Jesus. So you can understand why this is really important for us as a church. And so we're going to spend the next 4 weeks or so looking at what this means for you and for me, and how we can become disciples. But before we sort of get into the meat of what I want us to look at today, it's good to sort of define what we mean. And what do we really mean when we say the word disciple? What does that word mean? It's a Greek word in origin, and so we don't often hear it used in different places. In fact, I think, you know, if we were to ask people in the street what a disciple is, there might be some negative connotations to it, to do with cult leaders and people who follow people in sects and other things. Now, they have these disciples who would do anything, even if it means extreme things, in following their leaders. But the word disciple, really, if we were to translate it today and to think of kind of synonyms that we would use, we would need to use words like follower, a student, a learner. But I think the best translation for us today, or the best synonym for us today of the word disciple, is that of apprentice. That if someone's a disciple, they are an apprentice of someone. Now, the word disciple isn't a word that was coined by Jesus. It's not a Christian word. It's been around for centuries and centuries. It was part and parcel of the first century world. That it was part of the education system. If someone was to learn and to go to school or to learn a trade, they would become someone's disciple. You know, philosophers like Aristotle and Plato had disciples. They had students or followers or learners who would spend time with them learning. And then this idea of having disciples kind of spread around the world, and it entered kind of Israel, the Middle East, and rabbis, the teachers of the law, started to have students or people they would call disciples. So it's very much this kind of a relationship that you would have the master, the teacher, the rabbis at the top, if you like, the people who knew their stuff. And then below them, they would have a small group of disciples or apprentices who would learn from them. And of course, today, this idea has stuck around. We see it in popular culture. We see it in our own education systems and our own relationships with people. This idea of a teacher or a master, someone who knows their trade, and then people beneath them who are apprentices or disciples. I say it's in popular culture, isn't it? We would have seen it in films like Star Wars with Yoda, the Jedi Master, and Luke Skywalker, his apprentice, or his Padawan, as it is in the film. The Karate Kid. You can tell when I grew up, can't you? With the Karate Kid and Star Wars. The Karate Kid with Mr. Miyagi and Daniel, his apprentice, his disciple, his student. And maybe even today, I was trying to think of something more modern, an example that isn't from a film, but Greta Thunberg with all her campaigning on behalf of the planet and green issues, very much has a group of disciples, even at her young age, people who kind of hang on her every word and will follow her to different events to protest. And I wonder in your own life, where there's been those kind of relationships, where there's been someone that you've learnt from, or maybe some people that you've taught. I remember 20 plus years ago training to be a teacher down in Kent, and my mentor was a guy called Tony Flowers, who took me under his wing. He was on the placement, he was a teacher in the college where I was placed, and I remember kind of just thinking he was the best lecturer, the best teacher. And he used to take me into the college and the classes where I was learning, and he would say, look, watch me, and I'd spend hours watching him teach. And then I remember the day where he said, right, Mark, today we're going to do this together. And we taught a lesson together. And then a few weeks later, he said, right, Mark, now you're going to do it on your own. And I was left with this group of students to teach. But very much that kind of master teacher and apprentice kind of relationship. So the essence of being anyone's disciple is this. That a disciple is with their teacher. A disciple learns their teachings. A disciple has this aim to become like their teacher. And then ultimately, the disciple carries on their work in the world. That at one point, there'll be this moment where the teacher, the master says, go and make disciples. Go and share this with other people. So you can see how we can then apply this understanding of what it is to be a disciple to following Jesus, to being Jesus' disciple, which is really what we're interested in, isn't it? That the essence of being Jesus' disciple is that we are to be with Jesus. You know, in the ancient world where people, students, disciples would follow rabbis in the Jewish culture, there was this saying that you would follow in your rabbi so close that you would walk in the dust of their feet. You know, the dust that they were kicking up from the road. You'd be so close to them, so with them, that you'd have a cloud of dust around you from them. To be Jesus' disciple is to be with him, to walk in the dust of his feet. It's to learn his teachings. To understand that Jesus is the greatest teacher ever to live. That our aim as Jesus' disciples is to become like him. We want to be, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, transformed into his likeness. And then we want to carry on Jesus' work in the world. Why? Because he said, go and make disciples. This is what a disciple of Jesus looks like. And it takes effort. To do all four things there takes effort. To be a disciple of Jesus isn't to wear a label or a badge saying, I'm a disciple. It's so much more than that. It takes effort. You know, if you were to say to me, hey Mark, my aim over the next few months is to become a Michelin starred chef, I'd become your best friend if you were to become a Michelin starred chef, because I'd want you to cook for me. But the other thing is this, is that I would expect to see you putting in a lot of effort over these coming months. I probably wouldn't see you much because you'd be studying and learning and you'd be following someone who is already a Michelin starred chef so you can become like them. Take effort. Or if you said to me, Mark, my aim is to appear in the next Olympic Games as a pole vaulter, again, I'd think, wow, that's going to take effort. You're going to be training, and you're going to be following another pole vaulter who's already been at the Olympics so you can become like them. Or if you said, I'm going to become a concert pianist, the same effort. And you would be following someone who's already doing that role. Listen, apprenticeship takes effort. And if it takes an effort to become an Olympic athlete, if it takes effort to become a pianist or a chef, we can bet it's going to take effort to follow Jesus. You know, Paul writes this in his letters to the churches. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks about the hard training that he puts himself through. And he compares it to being like an Olympian. And says, you know, we've got to train ourselves. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he writes to Timothy, his apprentice, and he says, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself to follow Jesus. It takes effort. Now, some of us might be thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought this was all about grace. I thought following Jesus wasn't about what we do. It's all about what Jesus has done for us and his grace. And that is so true. But listen, grace isn't opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning our salvation. Grace isn't opposed to effort in wanting to follow Jesus. This is what a disciple of Jesus looks like. You know, when we read the accounts of Jesus' life, we read that there's kind of two distinct groups of people who follow him. There's the crowd and there are his disciples. Look here in Mark 8. It says, Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life must lose it. And whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Can you see there that distinction between the crowd and his disciples? And then him making that very clear distinction that there's, you know, it's, to be his disciple is, requires hard work. There's effort. There's a taking up of the cross. There's a losing of the life. Jesus distinguishes between the crowd and his disciples. And depending on how you read the gospel, Jesus had relatively few disciples, maybe about 70 men and women who followed him. I guess the question for us today is, am I part of the crowd or am I one of Jesus' disciples? Am I one of these women and men who put effort in, who want to be with Jesus, who want to learn his teachings, who want to become like Jesus and who want to carry his work on in the world? Or am I one of the crowd? What we're going to look at just for the remainder of our time together is that first point of what it means to be with Jesus. And over the coming weeks, we're going to look at learning Jesus' teaching, becoming like Jesus and carrying on his work in the world. So a disciple of Jesus is with Jesus. You know, in the eyewitness gospel accounts of Jesus' life, we see different times where he calls people to be with him, where he calls people and says, come and be my disciple. And when he does this, he uses two different words to speak to people. Let's just have a look at those words quickly. In Matthew 4, we read this about Jesus. He was walking beside the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So the first word that Jesus uses when he calls people to follow him is here. And he uses it here in Matthew 4. It's The Greek word here is episo. Episo. And really this means to follow behind somebody. So when Jesus calls Simon and Peter, and some Peter and Andrew, and says, come follow me, he's saying, come follow me. And it's very much this picture of following behind him. Follow the leader. I'm going to be a bit in front of you, but I want you to walk behind me, Jesus is saying to them. In Mark 2, he uses a slightly different word. Let's read what it says in Mark 2. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Now, kind of similar account, seeing somebody and saying, come and follow me, but a different word that he uses, because the word for follow here is akaluthēo. And that has the insinuation of not following behind, but following alongside someone. So he's saying to Levi, his tax collector, come and follow me, but walk alongside me. Now, just beautiful, those two ways that Jesus encourages people to be with him. One, to follow behind, and that sense that he's very much leading, that there's a sense of protection there. I'm going to go ahead of you into whatever situations we come across. But here, this is slightly different. He's still the leader, but come and work alongside me. Come and follow alongside me. And you know, in my life, and maybe in your life, if you would count yourself a disciple of Jesus, I can think of times where it's felt like Jesus is going very much ahead of me and protecting me and going into the situation in front of me. But other times where it's kind of working alongside him and following and being with him at his side. Maybe you've had times like that as well. With either of these words, though, there is still this sense of being with him and being very close to him, of being attached, of almost belonging to Jesus. You see, when we choose to follow Jesus and to be with him as his disciple, it's not primarily about activity and doing things. It's about this close relationship with him. When Jesus says, come and follow me, to the fisherman, when he says, come and follow me, to Levi, he's saying, come and be attached to me. Come and be close to me. Come and be in relationship with me. You see, this is what Jesus is after when it comes to you and me. He's not after workers. He's after relationship with us. That's primarily what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so first and foremost, the most basic thing a disciple of Jesus must prioritize is being with Jesus. Which is really basic, isn't it? But it's so crucial, so important. That the most important thing we prioritize is to be with Jesus. There's no shortcuts to this. This isn't something I'm saying just because I think it's important to say it. Jesus said this as well. You know, John 15, the best picture of a disciple in the Bible that Jesus paints. And you'll know it well, is where he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And look what he says here in verse 15. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. This is a beautiful picture of being with Jesus. You see, when it comes to a vineyard and it comes to the vine and the branches, it can be really hard sometimes to see where the vine stops and the branch starts. And this is the picture Jesus is painting here. This closeness of relationship. This being with him. This being attached. This kind of he in us and us in him. And he said, I want you to remain with me. And You know, in some versions of the Bible, it translates that differently. We've got remain or to wait in him, or to rest in him, to abide in him. One version even says to tarry, just to kind of spend time with him. But it's all about relationship. Jesus is giving us an image of a close relationship to him. This is what he has in mind when he says to the fishermen, when he says to Levi, when he says to you and me, come and follow me, come and be with me. Come and be with me as a vine and a branch are with each other. You know, but there's a warning here in what Jesus says as well. You see, he says any small branch that's left alone, that is unplugged from the vine, that is unplugged from the life source, he says, will wither and fade. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Apart from the vine, a branch is a stick, it's a twig on the ground. You know, we see this every week when we buy bananas from a supermarket, or indeed any fruit. I just happen to like bananas. You know, when we buy our bananas, what starts to happen? Well, you might buy them really sort of unripe, so they might be green and they'll start to turn yellow. And then if you don't eat them quickly, eventually they turn brown. And then they start to soften up. And if you leave them long enough, you get that lovely kind of sense of them going really mushy inside their skin. You see, as soon as that banana or that bunch of banana is plucked from the plant, the process of decline begins. It's inevitable. Only one thing's going to happen if they're not eaten. They're going to turn brown. They're going to go off because they've left the life source. And that is Jesus' warning to you and to me. He says, come and be with me. But if you're going to be with me, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to be with me. You've got to stay attached. You've got to stay plugged in. Because one lesson of life is whether it's a banana or a friendship, or a skill we once learned, or a close walk and relationship with Jesus, is that things which are left alone, things that are left unattended, uncared for, will wither and fade. The first and most basic thing a disciple of Jesus must prioritize is to be with Jesus, to remain, to abide, to rest in him. And it's not a complicated or difficult answer to how we do this. Quite simply, it's time. It's time. That is how we stay attached to Jesus. That is how we stay with him. With dedicated, set aside, ring-fenced time where we say, this is for me and for Jesus. Where the aim is relationship. Where the aim is to stay walking behind him in the dust of his feet, where he protects us. Or the aim is to stay alongside him, working with him. It's time. Time, time. And that takes effort. Just as becoming a concert pianist takes time. Just as becoming an Olympian takes time. Just as becoming a Michelin-starred chef takes time. There is no shortcuts to this. It's prioritizing being with him in set aside time. You know, I suspect some of you already might be watching this and you're saying, well, I hear that, Mark, but isn't Jesus always with me? You know, he promises to be with me. And that's true, isn't it? After his resurrection, he had those 40 days with his disciples, and then he went to the Mount of Olives, and just before he was going to return to his Father, he says to them, go and make disciples. But he says, and hear this, I will be with you right to the end of the age. And it's true, Jesus is always with us. But you'll know that there's a big difference between being with someone and actually tuning in and listening and hearing what they're saying. I know this because my wife Liz will often say to me, she'll be talking to me, sitting together in the lounge or spending an evening together or whatever it is, and she'll say, "Mark, you are present, but you're not with me." Because she would have been talking for the last 5 minutes and I'd be following the football on my phone, or I'd be thinking about something else. There's a huge difference between someone being present with you and actually being with them and listening and hearing. And that's what we're talking about here. It's staying attached to Jesus, staying close to him, being with him, and prioritising that time. Brother Lawrence, a famous Christian monk, he's a monastic man. He wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. And he, in that book, he paints just a beautiful picture of being with Jesus. In fact, the whole essence of his book is that he says, "Yeah, I had to set aside time, but actually I learned to kind of practice being with Jesus every moment of the day." And he talks about washing up and knowing Jesus' presence with him, or clearing up in the garden, doing these menial tasks, but knowing that Jesus was with him every step of the way, that he was following behind Jesus or alongside Jesus. And in that book, just one of the things that he says is this. He says, we may make an oratory of our heart. Do you know what an oratory is? It's like a chapel. It's a small church. He says, we may make an oratory of our heart, wherein to retire from time to time to converse with him, that's Jesus, in meekness, humility, and love. Everyone is capable of such familiar conversation with God. Some more, some less. But he knows what we can do. I love this. He says, "Let us begin then." You know, he says it's possible for each person, disciple of Jesus, to make space in our hearts, this little chapel space that is sacred, that is special, time set aside for Jesus, where we prioritize being with him. This is what we're talking about. This is how we start as a disciple. Before we even think of learning his teachings, before we even think of becoming like him, before we can even think of carrying on Jesus' work in the world, I need to make a little chapel space in our hearts. Time that is set aside just for Jesus, so that we can have that conversation with him. It takes effort. You know, understand who you are. When is the best time of day for you to do that? Is you a morning person? Are you an evening person? Are you a middle of the day person? What works with your timetable? For me, it's an armchair looking out on my back garden where I sit every morning. Spend time in the Word. Spend time praying with Jesus. Spend time listening to him. It's time set aside for him. As I sit down in that chair, it's almost like I say, "This time's for you." Understand that there's no set way to do it. If you're somebody who likes to walk, go and walk. If you're somebody who likes to sit still with a mug of coffee like me, do that in your bed. If somebody likes to read, then read. If somebody likes to write, then write. There's no set way. But it's making that time, setting it aside to be with him. One thing I can guarantee is that he is generous. More generous than we are. And I find that I can give him 15, 20 minutes in the morning before I get out into my day. And it's like he pours in hours and hours and hours of himself. He'll pour into you as you set aside time for him. So where and when do you find it easiest to be with Jesus? What might that look like for you? Maybe you just want to pause the talk here just for a couple of minutes and just think about that. Where and when do you find it easiest to be with Jesus? As you go into this week, what could that look like for you? The promise is, and it's here in James chapter 4, verse 8. It says that as we draw near to God, He will draw near to you. How good is that? In the Message translation, paraphrase of the Bible, it says, say a quiet yes to God, and He'll be there in no time. The first and most basic thing a disciple of Jesus must do, if we're going to follow Him, is to be with Him. And it's prioritizing being with Him before we do anything else. Are you part of the crowd that follow Jesus? Or are you one of His disciples? If you're one of His disciples, then you must be prioritizing time to be with Him and putting that effort in. So I'll leave you with this question. What will you do this week to prioritize being with Jesus? Before you move away from wherever you're watching this, just take some time to think that through. Maybe write it down. And then begin to put that into practice as you follow Him.